check session number 20598, reel 1.
Fritz Jelch, reel 1.
That's it.
Where were you born, please?
In Silesia. It's part of Poland now, you see. And that's the reason why I stopped here after the war.
What was the name of the place you were born in Silesia?
Oh, Luisdorf. Luisdorf.
What's it called now?
I don't know, it's got a Polish name.
Which year were you born?
26. 6th of June, 26.
Can you tell me something about your family background, what your father did for a living and so on, please?
My father was on the land. Landwirt, you say.
Landwirt. What did he work for?
Oh, he worked for a big estate farm.
Do you remember the name of the estate?
No, there was no name. There was Canap was his name, the baron. Canap.
What kind of a life did you have in Silesia before the war, as a boy?
Quite free, because we lived on the land. We had our land as well, big garden, and plenty of to eat.
Where did you go to school?
In a village.
And can you tell me about the schooling that you had?
Well, it's just the 500 in the village, you see, and I don't know how many in the school. We had four classes, of course, two classrooms, and in one class we went from 6 to 10, and the next from 10 to 14. With 14 we left school.
Did you have brothers and sisters?
Yes. I have the two sisters are dead. The two sisters in Bavaria, and a brother I got in West Germany.
Did both your mother and father also come from Silesia?
Yeah. Yes.
From the same village?
No, different village. My father came from the same village, but my mother came from 6 kilometers away.
Were all the people who lived in your area German-speaking?
Oh, yes. There were no Polish people there. We are about 90 kilometers to the Polish border. And now it's called Oder-Neisse Line. What after the war, it came to Poland, and Poland lost a big part from East Poland. Lost it to Russia. And that's why the Germany is smaller. But Poland just slipped to the west. The part of Poland lost in East Poland, they had it back from East Germany. And that's more or less the reason why I'm here.
How old were you when you left the school?
14. Everybody could finish with 14.
So the war had already started?
Oh, yes.
When you left school?
Yes, 40. 40. I left the school until 40.
Can you remember the outbreak of the war?
Yes, I can. Oh, yes. 39, yes.
What do you remember about it?
Well, when Germany moved into Poland, then all the army passed by.
Did you see them?
Oh, yes, all through the window, yes. The army. I didn't see any fighting, of course not. Because the Polish border was about 90 kilometers away.
Did the war affect you at first? You and your family?
No, everything was just normal. But my father was called up then, yes. He was in the First World War. But when Germany invaded Poland, they called the old ones up for the First World War. But he was when the war was finished in Poland, he was discharged again. So when Russia invaded Germany then, 44, he was called up again. Well, he died in the prisoner of war camp in Czechoslovakia. In the Russian prisoner of war camp, he died.
When the war broke out, how did you and your parents react to the news?
Well, my father didn't like it, you see, because we were young. we thought Hitler couldn't do anything wrong. We brought up in Hitler's time. When Hitler came into power, I only was 7 years old. You see, and so everything, what we heard, you see, the Kaiser let us down. I mean, in 1919, the Kaiser left Germany, and he went to his cousin, to Holland, Queen Wilhelmina, yeah, was the cousin, yeah. Well, because he was advised, and then after the war, he was advised by his people, if he doesn't move out, the same thing will happen to what happened to his cousin, the Shah of Russia, because they killed the whole family, you see. And that's why he moved out and went to Holland after the war. But we in school, because we didn't like it, we were taught he left Germany and let the German people to pay for the cost of the war. Germany had to pay to France for the damage they had done and so. And he took the gold with him into a different country.
So was your father disappointed when the war broke out?
Yeah, he was. He said, well, we don't want a war again because he had seen the First World War, you see.
Had he been in the army in the First World War?
He was in the army, yeah, that's what it was. He was very young then.
Did you experience any food shortages at all in the war?
No, not in the beginning. And we lived in a village, you see. We were more or less self-provided. We grew everything, you see. We met pigs and hens and all that. So it didn't affect us. Because later on, when everything went on Russian, then we felt the war anyway.
And what happened to this baron for whom your father worked?
He was a colonel in the First World War. He had two sons, and they both got killed in the Russian front. And I knew them quite well. And when the Russian came in, and all our people had to evacuate to the west, you see, and two of his workmen took him to a railway station. He had to go to a railway station. And he went through the forest after the war. And he said to the chap, stop it now. And they thought he had to go to relieve himself, you see. And suddenly they had a shot. So they went up to have a look behind the trees. He shot himself. And because his two sons were killed in the war, you see. And his wife died early, and then he married again, and he had two daughters with the second wife. And they became nurses after the war. That's what I heard. I mean, I've never been back there, you see, but that's what I heard.
Before you joined the army, had you been in any bombing? Were you bombed at all?
No, not in East Germany, not. But I had to go to the Arbeitsdienst, they call it Arbeitsdienst, Land Army, you see. And I spent 3 months in the Land Army. So I had about 2 months round our way in Sudeten. And then we had to go to near Cuxhaven to build bunkers for the for the Luftwaffe.
What was that like? What did that work like?
That was all right. We were treated all right. In the Land Army, instead of having guns, we had a spade to exercise. And the food was good because we were all young. We only were 17 years old. And the fence was all right. And the exercise and so, they built us up soldiers' props.
What did the work involve?
Building bunkers.
Mixing concrete?
Yeah, but because I was a shoemaker, and they put me in what do you call it now?
supplies?
Had a repair, two repairs, you know.
Shoe repairs?
Different shoe repairs. Well, some of them, the stitches came undone or so, because new soles or heels, that went to a factory, but worked for the Wehrmacht, you see. So every 3 months, because they were examined, if anything went wrong, they went to the factory, to a big place with the soles and heels and so. I only did anything went wrong, though, and even the different things, you know, altered trousers and things.
So when you left school, you became a shoemaker?
Yeah. 3 years service, 3 years apprenticeship served.
Was that in your village?
In the village, yes.
So when you went to Cuxhaven, were you building bunkers or were you repairing shoes?
I was repairing shoes, but the rest of them were building bunkers. Because they had nobody there, you see. So I was in a camel, what they call it.
And what had you done in the Sudetenland? You said you were in the Sudetenland?
Not Sudetenland. The mountain, Sudeten Mountain I was, in Silesia. It was not the Sudetenland, but just exercise.
What kind of exercises?
Kind of gymnastic, marching, and keep fit exercise.
Is this with Arbeitsdienst?
Arbeitsdienst, yes. They build it up to keep fit.
Whilst you were at Cuxhaven, were you bombed there?
Oh yeah, Cuxhaven was bombed very badly. But in Cuxhaven, yeah. But we were outside Cuxhaven on an airfield. That wasn't bombed because with the night fighters were there, of course they took care of it. No, we were not bombed. We had alarm to go in the bunkers and so, you see. But the town was bombed, of course, Cuxhaven.
When the war had broken out, did you think Germany was going to win the war?
When it broke out, yes, we did. We thought Hitler couldn't do anything wrong. Because, as I said, the Kaiser left us and left everything for the German people to pay for the war. And, we thought it was wrong, of course, in school and so. But afterwards, when it took on too much, we know we shouldn't do it. We had a front in Russia and front in the West. As a young chap, I thought it was wrong.
So, when you were in Cuxhaven doing the Arbeitsdienst work, did you still think Germany was going to win then? Or had you changed your mind?
Well, I was a bit doubtful, because how the bombing got on, you see. And as I said already, we took our front was widening up, and I thought it was a bit too much.
How old were you when you were working at Cuxhaven?
On 17, I was called up to Arbeitsdienst just after my 17th birthday.
So it must have been 43.
Yeah, 43.
And then after that, did you then go into the army?
Yes, we were told in Cuxhaven we have to send home for our civilian clothes. But coming from Silesia, it was too far, you see. I mean, first of all, with the bombing, so we couldn't get the clothes. So they sent us home, and we had to send our uniform back to our place, to Freiburg, where it was called up first, you see.
What happened to you at Freiburg?
Well, we had to exercise. I was called up to Freiburg. It was a little town, a mountain town. And we had to keep fit exercise, marching and so on. We didn't have guns, just a spade.
How were you treated in the training at Freiburg?
Very good, really. To me, I was glad I was called up, because I was a shoemaker and was sitting there, the young chap, in a little workshop. On mending shoes. I was glad when they called me up for Arbeitsdienst. So I was outside. I wanted to be out and have my exercise, you see.
What weapons were you trained on in Freiburg? What weapons were you trained to use?
No, we had spade on it. Well, we had small caliber shooting to shoot straight, lantern to shoot straight, but they all small caliber, you know, what they have here, the children have few clubs.
So at Freiburg it was just drill?
Oh yeah, Freiburg was just drill, yes.
And then what happened?
Then from Freiburg we went to Cuxhaven, and they had to build bunkers then for the Luftwaffe, for the night fighters, you see. And we were treated all right there, because we had the same dining room as the fighters had. And they were treated all right.
So when you were at Freiburg, were you still in the Arbeitsdienst or in the army?
No, Arbeitsdienst.
When you were called up to the army, where did you go to first?
We were sent home. We come from Silesia, and I think I had 10 days at home, or a week, I can't remember now. And then I had to go straight in the army. Yeah. To Glas, again a mountain town. Again on a mountain they're still in Germany, but in the Dayton Mountain. It was surrounded with mountain, the town, a little town. I was called up there.
And it's called Glas?
Glas, yeah.
G-L-A-S?
Yes, that is Glas, yes.
What happened to you there? What memories have you got of being there?
Again, we were exercising. But because we were already in Arbeitsdienst, we were already fit and so. And from there, on the 4 weeks we had exercise, we went to Silesia, but to East Silesia, not where I come from, right down what is between Poland and Czechoslovakia, it goes down. And from there, we were sorted out. The chaps who were born 25, they went to Russia. And I was born 26, we went to France on a train, you know, and everything. It was a long, long train. We had artillery with us and all, you see. But of course, I was the infantry. So we went to France, and that took us 2 weeks, because we had to go slow. Bombing was on, but we had to hide, and we went right to Brittany in France. Brittany, they called it. Brittany, yeah. It's in, like a half island, we call it half island, was connected to the continent in one part. One part goes in the channel.
How did you feel about serving in France rather than Russia?
Oh, I was glad I went to France, because there was no fighting then. All we did exercising and Besatzungstruppen.
Were you in the infantry?
Infantry, under infantry, yes.
What happened when you got to Brittany?
Exercise again, and I was in the middle of Brittany, about 20 kilometers from Brest, I think, quite home. And then we heard that southern England is full of American troops. We know it will be invasion. So descended from there to St. Malo, in Brittany, near St. Malo, not in town again, near St. Malo. So we pitched up tents there, and there was a still the winter was around 44, there was still part of snow lying there, partly. And of course, when the invasion started in Normandy, we were woken up about 4 o'clock or 4:30 in the morning. They said Britain, American and the Allies, they landed in the Normandy. I didn't even know where Normandy was. And I remember my sergeant said, "Do you know we are in Brittany, this half island goes in the channel, the Normandy is to the east, It's not quite so long as Brittany, smaller, sticks into the channel, you see. And I knew the borders of France. And then I realized it was Normandy, yeah. And then we waited all day, 44, June 6th, when it started. We waited all day for the landing. We thought it might land in St. Malo as well. But it didn't land in St. Malo. So we all had bikes. And I was wondering. And the longest day in the film here, I remember that British aeroplanes, they attacked a company of bikes. I said, and I think I must have been there. But my son said, no, they're all actors. But I remember when we went on the bikes into the Normandy, and we were attacked with a plane. And nobody got injured, but they shot at us. And the plane turned around again and came back again. So some of us, or all of us, went across the road to in a ditch embankment to hide on the embankment. Because otherwise, if we would have lied there, they would have shot us the way they came around. But they didn't. And I think they took photos of us.
Was this near St. Malo?
Oh, no. That was in Normandy already. Already. Near St. Lô. That was near St. Lô.
Was this British or American plane?
I think they were British plane. Because they were shooting with machine guns. The Americans were bombing.
Were there any casualties amongst your comrades?
No, then it wasn't. But our provision, our sergeant major, and the cook went in separate, and the driver, you see, the lorry was bombed. We had our clothing. We had the rucksacks, you see, but we put it all in the lorry, the rucksack, because we didn't move about like we do. You hear the army, the big rucksacks, so you couldn't move, you see. So then all the lorry, and some food, like big tins of spread cheese and corned beef and jam, big tins, I think they're five kilo, I think, big tins. They were on the lorry as well, and the lorry was bombed and burned out. And the sergeant major, he lost his leg, I heard. I mean, I never saw him again, because we were already on, you see. They were a day behind us. And, the driver, he was killed. The lorry burned out. But they rescued some of the food, you know, like in tins. When we had the food, it was all half burned and bent and from the heat, yes. But it was still eatable. I mean, we had all good tummies while we were young, you see. But then I noticed the war, how the war goes now, you know. First shooting.
What was the name of or number of the units you were in at that time?
The general was General Zimmermann. I think the 346th Division, Infantry Division. General Zimmermann. They mentioned in the longest day.
And what weapon did you personally have?
I was on a mortar. Mortar, where you put the grenade in and come out, you see. And I only carried a pistol, because I had to carry the mortar. And that's why I think I survived, because our company, I was part of the rifle company, of course, infantry, and I never met anybody in prison time afterwards, because they all got killed and wounded, the whole company. And because I was 100 meters behind the rifle company, I was in a mortar, you see, but we were shot more with artillery, because American, they had a slow plane to tell the artillery when to shoot and so. Tiger Moth, I think it's Tiger Moth. Oh, we hated it. It goes so slow, like a sewing machine. No one was looking at us. And of course, when we shot, then they know where the shots come from. And we were under fire straight away from an American, from the artillery and mortar, of course. Oh, we had several very badly wounded and killed from my troop. I mean, we were five in a mortar under Unteroffizier. Three of them carried the equipment. I had the two legs, and one of them had the platform, and one of them had the barrel, you see, that they carry. And we had two ammunition men, you see, but we didn't have any ammunition. I mean, we could get a supply. And we had to do it ourselves. That the few grenades, what we had, on three grenades in a box, and we had to hide them everywhere, between the tree, behind the tree, or behind the rock also, so don't get blown up with the artillery and so, you see. Because we only did shoot when we were in danger, because we couldn't, we didn't have the ammunition.
You were telling me about the casualties to your unit. Did your company have a number as well?
No, I don't know casualties. I think they all got wounded and killed, because when I was taken prisoner, I didn't know anybody from my company.
But your company, did it? You told me the number of the infantry division.
Division, yes.
346, you thought.
Yeah.
Did the company also have a number?
Yeah, I was in the 5th company. The 5th company and the 2nd regiment.
Do you remember any of the officers or sergeants in your...
I don't know any names. No, because we only addressed them with the Unteroffizier oder Hauptmann or so. I can't remember any names.
Do you remember the names of any of your comrades on the mortar who were carrying the mortar? Who you were with?
No, I don't know the names now. They all got killed. The last one that got killed, we were surrounded. After Normandy, we were surrounded from... I think they came from Britain as well, American troops and so. We were shot from all directions. But after Normandy, after we left Normandy. And so the last one got killed. Was awful, it was really. Because we were so closed in, like rats and so. And I remember... We went across the potato field out of Spinney, yes, and the big artillery went again across the potato field, and they were shooting from every direction, and a chap was just behind me, and I heard a call, you see, and the big lorries were pulled the 15 centimeter artillery, big artillery, it's 15 centimeters, six inches. Big thing, yeah. And he was sitting high up, and he was just looking where it goes. And the chap must have had a bullet or splinter. He fell just in front of it, and the lorry just went over. And I had to just cry very short, you see. And I looked around. I said to the driver, "What are you doing there?" You see, "What can I do? Nothing. You only had to look where it goes." You see, he didn't look on the bottom because the lorries were quite high, big high. You see. He couldn't see what was on the bottom, you see. So you couldn't blame him. Everybody fought for himself. And because I was the infantry, my mates, he was just walking in front of me, and we were attacked again there. We were on the side of an armored car, you see. We both were walking, and that armored car was shot at with the 8.8, I think, with the... tank guns and so on. And a splinter from the car, the wagon was hit. A splinter hit him on the head, that chap in front of me.
On the forehead.
And he had right a big boy, you know. And he fell on me. I pulled him back and I put him on the side. On the side. And then I remember there were a lot of cars. A farm truck we were there. And an ambulance came along as well. And on the time I was crying, when I said to the ambulance man, can I put him in, you see? And he looked out, the first aid man, he was in the driver's seat as well, he looked out,